Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. As here on Texas Outdoor News, we continue with our annual Waltz Across Texas. This weekend, we're going to be visiting with District Leader Dean Marquardt, based out of Brownwood. And then we're going to the Trans-Pecos region with Mike Giannis out in Alpine. This is so much fun for us on the radio show.
Oh, sure.
But also in the magazine, the forecast, and you really get a feel for just how big Texas is.
Which magazine is that?
That would be Texas Outdoors Journal.
Ah, okay.
Yes, yes.
A little crass commercialism there, but that's okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So we've got that. We've got some updates. Bill's going to contribute to the auto section of the show.
Oh, I can't wait.
I know you can't. Plus, we've got big news coming out of Austin from Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Ah, yes.
So y'all do stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson, along with Harold Gunn, we do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And at the top, hope everybody's enjoying some of the beautiful weather that we're having. I mean, we are dry. We need some more rain. Mm-hmm. The spigot has been turned off.
But surprisingly, I was in the hill country last week at my little piece of heaven between Mason and Brady, and it looked like spring. I've got a water tank that normally doesn't hold much, and it was full.
Really?
I mean, it looked wonderful up there.
Well, if you're looking for something to do and you're in and around the Aransas Pass area, started Friday, runs through this Sunday, the Big Catch Fishing Tournament and Boat and RV Show is taking place at Southern Oaks RV and Resort, and that's located there at 1850 Highway 35 Bypass in Aransas Pass. And it's kind of a neat deal. Area dealers have gotten together, using that as the venue.
Right.
But the fishing tournament, they've got a 3 to 10-year-old group, an 11 to 15, and then 16 and up, entry fees with each. Basically, you fish from 8 to 11 each day. You know, there's some pre-registration.
Do we know what we're fishing for?
Yeah, they're bass. Ah. So there's a lake, so it's not coastal fish,
okay.
You know, because it's on the bypass, which is
right.
off of the coastal waterway there.
Okay, cool.
But neat operation. Found out about this a little bit later. We would have been promoting it earlier. But great dealers in the area. Beautiful RV park to check out. And maybe you can walk away with a boat. And an RV.
That'd be nice.
An RV that you can pull your boat behind.
Right.
Okay. And again, this weekend, show hours are Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5. Again, Southern Oaks RV Resort. Got some news, big news, coming out of Texas Parks and Wildlife.
That's why I didn't print it out, because I knew you would have.
Yeah. and it's interesting, the comments.
Yeah.
But Texas Parks and Wildlife on Tuesday of this week named a new executive director to replace Carter Smith. Uh-huh. And it's David Yoskowitz from the Heart Research Center there at A&M Corpus Christi.
Okay.
He's been there for a while.
Right.
Real strong coastal influence.
Ah.
The department, in my opinion, and this is Bill's opinion,
okay,
got a lot of areas to be addressed, obviously. It all stems from Texas growing population.
Uh-huh.
And the coastal side is just one of many.
Correct.
And I don't know Yoskowitz.
Right. We will.
Oh, we will. You bet we will. But the coastal influence almost seems to be a reaction to Winter Storm Uri that occurred in February of 2021,
uh-huh.
You know, and the impact that it's had and the reduction, et cetera.
Right.
Of course, we've got our friend Robin Rikers, head of Coastal Fisheries,
that's
on the Gulf Council. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this balances with both aquatic, avian, as well as terrestrial, you know. And that's
three big words.
Yes. And that's always an ongoing challenge.
Yeah, it is, like
challenge.
I say, yeah, because it's such a major job. And we keep talking about the size of the great state of Texas and all the different opportunities we've got, but also all the different problems that come from all of that. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
You know, I've talked to several people, and they're going, yeah, I'm trying to get a meeting with him. I'm going, that line is very long.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
So I look forward to getting to know our new executive director, who will take the helm first part of the year when Carter steps down. Here's something that's interesting, Harold.
Uh-huh.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has announced the 2022 Duck Stamp Art Contest winner.
Okay.
No big deal there. It happens every year.
Right.
Joseph Houghton of Plymouth, Minnesota, took the top honors, and his painting of three tundra swans flying over a wetland will be made into the 2023-2024 Federal Migratory Bird Hunting and Conservation Stamp,
mm-hmm.
better known as the duck stamp.
Right.
Missing from the stamp is a hunting element.
Oh.
Which was deleted as a requirement by the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The hunting element was acquired during the Trump administration as recognition to the significant role hunting fulfills in conservation and wildlife management. The stamps raise approximately $40 million in sales each year for conservation. And, of course, waterfowl hunters are required to buy the stamp to legally hunt.
Correct.
But it's not a part of the content of the, you know, stamp.
Yep.
The painting, okay?
Goes along with the racing history.
Yeah. Lots of news coming from National Shooting Sports Foundation this week around the country and around the world. And this I thought was interesting, okay? Alberta will not comply with Trudeau's government's gun confiscation plan.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Okay.
Alberta and also Saskatchewan have bowed up against Prime Minister Trudeau. Alberta's Justice Minister Tyler Chandreau said they will not comply with federal gun control laws and potential confiscation mandated by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In 2020, Prime Minister Trudeau announced that Canada would initiate a mandatory taxpayer-funded gun buyback of over 1,500 models and variants of so-called assault weapon.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Right.
In response, Chandreau said Alberta will not agree to have Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers act as confiscation agents and vow to protest any confiscation measures under the provincial federal agreement that concerns policy. And like I said, this is coming out of the Alberta government,
right?
But Saskatchewan has also joined the protest as well. As a sign of the times, and we know the tragedy that has befallen many areas of the country in some of these shootings.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
And I love Uvalde.
Yeah.
You know, and we all feel and send prayers to the victims. But the families of three children who survived the Uvalde, Texas murders have filed a lawsuit in federal court against the Uvalde School District, law enforcement officials, gun makers, and others, alleging that their negligence and failure contributed to the crimes, according to the Texas Tribune. It names Daniel Defense and a firearm accessories company among the defendants, okay, which also includes the city and former police chief. The plaintiff submits claims of negligence, negligent entrustment, manufacturing, and marketing defects in their claims. However, the murderer was not named as responsible for the horrific crimes committed. Who's driving that?
Yeah.
Who's driving that?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So sad. So
yeah,
sad.
It really is. You got anything?
It's so sad to make a game out of it. Yeah, something good.
Okay.
And I'll bring it up. The National Rifle Association. We hear about things about them from both sides of the aisle, but they just donated $173,911 to the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency for their residents' use of the NRA's award-winning free online hunter education course.
Cool.
Spokesperson said the course is truly cutting edge, best course out there for someone looking to get their hunter education online. We're also grateful for the funding that the agency receives as a result of our residents taking this course. The fund received by the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency can be used to apply for Pittman-Robertson grants that will result in the state receiving over $521,000 in federal matching funds to support hunting, conservation, and shooting programs in Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Yep.
Biggest thing about the online side is you still need, and I really think the states are struggling because they don't have the manpower or the resources.
Right.
But the range time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not, okay, you watch the video, here's a gun.
Need trigger time on that.
Yeah, you need to have that mentoring side.
Yep.
And that's something that will be addressed. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our best bets, outdoor report, and we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road.
Indeed.
Don't stick around.
America's best-selling truck for 45 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 45 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you can depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 45 years. Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough. The best in Texas.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. Launched in 2015, Third Coast Thermal is owned and operated by a Christian family that's proud of the USA and is committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Third Coast Thermal offers a variety of traditional high-quality scopes, binoculars, and other optics. They also offer superior night vision and thermal imagery equipment, plus other hunting tools worthy of your consideration. When it comes time to invest in these hunting tools, the professionals at Third Coast Thermal will provide their analysis of products that will help assure that well-informed hunting investment is made. Harold, I don't know of another time when that well-informed information was needed because there's so many new products being brought on market. So many changes to market value.
Well, prices are going down on the earlier ones, too, which are still good. I mean, it's just a matter of how they can help you out with your budget.
Well, and availability is still, you know, a bit of a challenge on some products. So what you can do is you can go to their website at thirdcoastthermal.com, check out inventory, and understand, you know, trying to keep that updated is a chore, but it'll give you an idea of what's out there. Then give them a call and find out what's available, explain what your needs and budget are, and, you know, let Clifford and Dave help you out.
You betcha.
Again, the phone number is 832-827-4574. It's 832-827-4574.
Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, fishing and hunting times this weekend. Saturday is rated as good. This Sunday is the first of three best days of the week. Monday and Tuesday are two more good ones. Wednesday and Thursday slip to fair. Friday's another good one. Next Saturday and Sunday are two more best days. This weekend, look for game to be most active from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day will begin either side of the noon hour, continue until late afternoon. By Wednesday and Thursday, times will have continued to adjust, with game beginning to feed from early afternoon until the evening hours before sunset. Friday and next Saturday, we'll see this most active period occur from mid-afternoon until well into the evening hours. Next Sunday, a major time shift occurs, with game beginning to actively feed from well before sunrise, continuing to forage until mid-morning. This Sunday, October the 9th, we will have a full moon on the coast. This weekend, both Saturday and Sunday have a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Monday is a three tide day with two highs and one low. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday each have a double tide schedule. Friday has a single tide schedule, one high, one low. Next Saturday, a single low is the only one of the day, and the next Sunday has a single tide schedule.
On the coast, fishing continues to really get good after the heat wave that we experienced through summer. Lake Calcasieu reports coming out of Big Lake of good catches of speckled trout. Redfish are on the move as that migration takes place. Actually, the redfish migration is taking place all the way to Port Isabel, and I think it's running a little bit hot behind. I think it was so hot, even though August was a bit milder, and August is when that migration starts. I think it's going to continuing to be very active in the bays on, say, non-mature species. Shorter than 30 inch, your slot fish. Around the beachfront, your bull reds have been very active. Speckled trout working underneath the birds, shorelines, flats, close to deep water. That pattern is good from Calcasieu and Sabine all the way through the upper coast, mid coast area. Certainly want to work the back lakes in behind Matagorda and St. Joe Island, Mustang Island. And then on the lower coast, just a plethora of game species to go after. Don't forget, if you're looking for offshore fishing, stay water for red snapper is open. Tarpon, look to the middle and lower coast around the Port Isabel jetties for juvenile fish. And still got some kingfish out there. So there's plenty to go try to get a tug.
Okay.
All right. What's going on with our lakes?
Let's head to East Texas. Caddo. Temperatures are dropping like the stock market. Water temperatures in the upper 70s. Shad are getting busy running up and down the river systems on Caddo. Schooling action is still good with buzz baits, popar, spinner baits, and worms on the main lake. Don't be scared to throw frogs over the lily pads, grass, and vegetation this time of the year. Conroe. Catfish are basically everywhere on points, ledges, structure. Good action on natural bait as well as catfish bubblegum. Lake of the Pines, catfish are good on baited holes in 15 to 20 feet of water using cheese bait. Crappie are good on brush and laydowns in 12 to 15 feet of water, biting on minnows and jigs. Sam Rayburn, water is clearing up after the turnover. Bass are good shallow using spinner baits and crankbaits and on points and ledges in the creek channels using Carolina rigs. Palestine, bait fish are running good and the fish are going nuts. Bass are good in 2 to 8 feet of water on Ned rigs. Crappie are good in brush piles in 17 feet of water on timber along the edge of the river with jigs. Texoma. The striper bite is shallow early on top waters using swim baits on shallow flats and slabs in deeper water. Fall fishing is all about chasing the birds, so watch for the gulls and herons. Watch them start appearing and follow them.
There you go. All right, Harold mentioned the lake turnover, and that's a common theme all across the state with lakes turning over that happens this time of year. Watch your water temperature. That's really critical. Amistad Reservoir, about 22 feet in the past couple of months have come up. Choke Canyon Reservoir, bass fishing's good with topwaters, buzz baits, and frogs in the grass. Falcon, catfish are good in 10 to 12 feet of water at the mouth of creek channels with cut baits. Bass in the rocks in 10 to 25 feet of water being caught on plastics and jigs. Brownwood, bass fishing's excellent to 6.5 pounds with topwaters early and late in 1 to 5 feet. Allen Henry, crappie is the main attraction on minnows over brush in 25 to 35. And Coleman, just go after hybrid stripers.
Okay.
It's always there, okay?
All right.
Well, go ahead.
Heading to the Hill Country, Big Lake Buckhanna, and catfish continue to be good on cut shad or punch bait in 6 to 12 feet of water. Crappie are good in 10 to 16 feet of water on chartreuse jigs. Canyon, bass are excellent on topwater lures around grass first thing in the morning, flipping into the grass and hydrilla in 18 to 22 feet after lunch. Striped bass are good on the lower end using topwaters and swim baits. Travis, bass are good with half-ounce topwater frogs along rocks, grass, stumps, brush in the creeks. Bigger bass are hiding in the cover, waiting to ambush bait fish, targeting shady spots in the creeks using Texas rigs or putting bass in the boat.
All right, listen up, folks. We've got some dates for you to fixate on. North Zone dove season, the first split through November 13th. Central Zone and South Zone through October 30th. Javelina South Zone, of course, runs year-round through August 31st, as well as the other open squirrel seasons. Through October 16, pronghorn antelope season by permit only. And Harold, some of those prairie goats that we've seen?
Yes.
Big.
Ah.
I mean, really, really some good animals being taken. And for you archery hunters, you already know it. White-tailed deer, mule deer. And Rio Grande turkey season runs through November 4.
Okay.
Right. You've been on or off the road?
Do I go first? Because you said you had something automotive you wanted to bring up.
No, I'm going to let you leave.
You're going to pick on me after I finish.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, neat vehicle. I'm obviously a big fan of Kias and also Hyundais. Same company, different divisions, et cetera. But they do a good product. And always have to mention their warranty, which is 10-year, 100,000-mile, and they're just doing a great job. But this one, the 2022 Kia Sorento Hybrid EX with the available all-wheel drive. This is a midsize SUV, three rows, surprising amount of room in this thing. The engine is a 1.6-liter turbocharged four-banger, 227 horsepower. It's mated to a six-speed automatic transmission and drive mode select, electronic parking brake and auto hold, which I really, really like. Their DriveWise driver assist technology with forward collision avoidance assist, pedestrian blind spot collision avoidance assist, rear cross traffic collision avoidance, safe exit assist, lane keeping assist, great. Dual front advanced airbags and driver knee airbags. I had that happen once. It hurts. Interior, very, very nice. Very well appointed. 10.25-inch touchscreen with nav, rear park view camera, dynamic guidelines, which help you get that thing parked. Smart key, dual zone automatic climate control, power driver seat, heated front seats. Second row are captain's chairs, which make it easier to get into the third row. Very nice. Added on this thing, their forward collision avoidance system, also cyclist avoidance, forward collision avoidance with timing on merging, highway drive assist, smart hands-free power lift gate, and more. Great looking vehicle, great value, great driving too, because 39 miles per gallon in the city, 35 on the highway, base 35, this thing was loaded to the gills at 37. That's quite a value. It's a lot of vehicle for the bucks. The 2022 Kia Sorento Hybrid EX all-wheel drive.
And on the other side.
Yes. Okay. You finally ordered your plug-in.
No. Actually, it is really what I'm doing is acknowledging the fact that there's some common sense being presented by the media.
Oh, I thought you were going to say government. And, that's just as bad. Okay.
No, but coming from the automakers.
Okay.
Okay, and it's coming from one that was a leader in, you know, electric vehicles or hybrids.
Yes.
And from Toyota Motor.
Okay.
CEO Akio Toyoda.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
You know, has basically said that the company will move forward with plans to offer an array of so-called electrified vehicles for the foreseeable future, ranging from hybrids and plug-ins to all-electric and hydrogen electric.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I could understand something there. And this was coming originally from CNBC, which throws a red flag up immediately.
You're right.
Okay?
Right.
So then I go to Bloomberg, all right?
That's another red flag.
Right. Toyota said, battery electric vehicles are just going to take longer than the media would like us to believe, okay?
Yeah.
He pledged to offer the widest possible array of powertrains to propel cars cleanly, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He expressed guest skepticism that automakers will be able to achieve the California mandate that will effectively ban gas-fueled vehicles by 2035 and require a substantial portion of sales be EVs by 2030. The bottom line is, this is just common sense, and it says by 2030, they anticipate in their lineup of product that they're developing,
right,
about a third may be electric, leaving two-thirds of, you know,
the gas,
fossil fuel. Right?
And hydrogen is mind-blowing. Again, of course, it's the infrastructure, it's the filling stations, it's the same thing with the plug-in.
Sure.
There's some good things about some of those plug-ins, but still it's a matter of where you're going to charge it and how fast can you charge it. And hydrogen, the cool thing about it is the byproduct of running a hydrogen engine is water.
Right. Cool. Aren't we in short supply of that, too?
Water? Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay.
Makes desalinization sound good again, doesn't it?
Well,
although California shut down their desalinization plants.
But you know, around the world, there are desal plants.
Correct.
That are operating very efficiently.
Correct.
So it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel.
Correct.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just wanted to pass that on because we do, you know, Harold does bring up the electric vehicles. I pick on them.
Yep.
But letting folks know that the automakers are cognizant of what they're up against.
That's right.
And the reality, you consumers need to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're going to be the ones that make the final decision.
Be informed. Be educated.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're heading to Brownwood. Dean Marquardt, we're going to get a hunting forecast update.
I like it.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients, taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists, doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven cylinder tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with vitamins and minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The whitetail blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tail deer and wildlife. Are you feeding Fortified Cottonseed yet? If not, you really should.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've already had doe dropping fawns earlier this summer, and we've got the rut beginning to ramp up, and you know that those bucks are going to lose about 25% of their mm-hmm. body weight chasing doe, and then they're going to go through the recovery. Fortified Cottonseed offers exactly what they're missing, and the great thing is the cost savings is better than 2-to-1 over a normal protein regimen. Go to their website at fortifiedcottonseed.com, watch the video, get to know the players and partners involved, and then give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. Fortified Cottonseed is available delivered directly to your ranch or location, or you can pick it up at Tractor Supply. All right, heading to Brownwood, Texas, Dean Marquardt. He was the technical guidance biologist. Then he ran Kevin Moat off. And assumed the district leader position. Kevin's in Austin now, taking care and working with landowners. Okay, really, really enjoying getting to know Dean and the team and the reports that he provides. Dean, how are you doing? Welcome back to Texas Outdoor News.
Very good. How are y'all today?
Doing great.
Hey, is Kevin upset that you ran him off?
No, he's not. He's happy. You know, he was a great mentor for me, so I'm just trying to keep things afloat.
Yeah, but being in Austin, didn't he have to learn more about politics?
Always there.
Oh, that's great. No, great bunch of people that we've met, you know, doing this over the years. Hey, coming out of last hunting season, what shape was your area, that Cross Timbers, Rolling Plains area up in North Texas? What shape were y'all in heading into the spring?
You know, that December month was, I think, quoted as one of the driest on records, and we definitely saw that. You know, that's when most of the forb production starts.
Right.
You have a lot of germination in October through December, and we just didn't have that this year. So we came, you know, into the spring, late winter, with limited rainfall and very dry conditions, very mild winter, to say the least.
Well, then how did that impact our recruitment of both of the whitetail fawns?
Yeah, so fawn production this year, based on our, you know, current surveys, is a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some bright spots up along the Red River. They got some rain. They got some spring rains, but the rest of this area, north central Texas, was very dry. Fawn crop, fawn recruitment, it probably will be down this year. You know, population-wise, we're holding about the same. So we're just kind of in a treading water pattern as far as population goes.
How are you looking for size?
Body, size,
and antler, yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of great bucks on surveys, and mostly we attribute that to age structure. We've got a good age structure in the district. It's been getting better and better every year. We've got some great bucks, but on average by age class, you know, we're a little bit down. We're a little bit off on antler growth this season. So, you know, this is the year if you have a great 4.5-year-old buck, you may want to give him another year and try to get him into those older age classes and hope and pray for rain this coming fall.
When we talked for the article in the August issue of Texas Outdoors Journal, we were just getting some rain across the Lone Star State. Did that have anything other than just putting some moisture in the ground for a few fall forbs? I mean, it didn't have any impact on antler growth, but what about body weight?
you know, it's going to do some good. It's drying up really fast. The benefit's going to be that we did produce some browse. Most of the browse plants had started to lose their leaves throughout the summer. So we have some browse component now. We have a few forbs, and this is going to bring them into the fall in a little better condition before rut. And actually, we have some acorns falling right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, let's switch over to upland birds, quail. If we didn't have the cover for fawn recruitment, how about our bobwhites?
Yeah, quail is pretty bleak. We just put out our statewide quail forecast. You can find it on our website, but it's a little bleak this year. Those conditions through nesting season when it was 100 degrees for 60 days straight or something, it really took a toll on quail production, chick production this season. Some areas that they were under the right cloud, got some rainfall, they're still holding a few birds.
Yeah.
But overall, we're not going to see a boom this year. It's going to be a most likely below average year for quail.
Dean, as the seasons are approaching, how are we looking for turkey?
Turkey's about the same. You know, those upland birds, they need that cover. They need good nesting conditions, and they just didn't have that. There's some bright spots to the north and east on the I-35 corridor up to the Red River where they're seeing groups of 10, 15 poults. That's our bright spot. As you go farther west, production was pretty much zero this season.
All right. We are just about out of time. Mm-hmm. One final question for you. Waterfowl, particularly ducks, because DU reported that so many of the changes, agricultural practices have shifted where these birds roost. And a lot of it is in your part of the world, small ponds, small lakes and tanks. What kind of shape are we on water for ducks coming south?
You know, most of the ponds and lakes I see right now are about half capacity.
Okay. So
they're a little bit down. If we could get some rainfall over the next month, we'd be set up for pretty good coming into the later duck seasons. Right now the ponds and lakes are down. Our bigger lakes, water reservoirs, are holding a lot of ducks through the winter, and they did last year. So that's a positive. There's a lot of ducks that are here, and there's an opportunity. You just have to find the right spot with good loafing and good feed.
There you go. All right, we appreciate your update. Our first guest, Dean Marquardt, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from Brownwood. We're going from Brownwood to Alpine. Mike Yannis, he's on his way.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
I'm Wade Lowry. This is WR Farm and Ranch. We started in 2015 raising grass-fed and grain-fed Japanese beef direct to consumer. We're fifth generation, and we plan for our sons and daughters to be sixth generation. So working with Capital Farm Credit from the beginning has been amazing. Capital Farm Credit really sees our end goal, but also our dream. The reason I think they have our needs and our goals in mind is because they understand the end game of most producers.
Visit CapitalFarmCredit.com.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike Forage Oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike Forage Oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike Forage Oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike Forage Oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at PlotSpike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
We continue our waltz across Texas. We're in Alpine now with Mike Yannis, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, my friend? Mike?
Good day.
We had to hit another button in order to hear you.
Technical
stuff. That's right. When we were visiting for the magazine article and hunt forecast, about the time we visited, all of a sudden you know, the rain clouds opened and y'all started getting a bunch of rain. Did that have a positive impact, or was it too little too late?
Well, you know, we'll take any rain we can get, and depends on how you look at it. It was too late to help fallen production for things like pronghorn and mule deer, but certainly it's going to have a positive impact on the animals that are out there now, on their body condition. Perhaps there could be some quail do some late nesting. It's always tougher to do it late in the year, but we'll take it, and sure, it's positive. It just may have not helped. It would have been nice to have some sooner as well, though.
Yeah, this Harold, I was looking at your quote in the article for Texas Outdoors Journal magazine about brutally dry. That happens in Texas, don't it?
It does. It, you know, especially out here, you know, we're in the Chihuahuan Desert. But the last two winters, and what we find is that while most of our rainfall comes in August, typically with the monsoon season, really a lot of what predicts how we're going to do for the year in terms of wildlife is hinges on getting some winter moisture, winter and early spring, just to keep us going and get us to the monsoon season. In the last 2 years, we've just had really, really bad winters, and so we've gotten off to a tough start.
All right, let's hit some high points, because we dealt with COVID for a couple of years, we didn't do a survey on our bighorn sheep project. How are those critters doing? I mean, that's been such a success story.
You know, we've been dealing with some challenges with bighorn sheep lately. Our numbers are pretty much overall down a bit from the high of, say, about 1,500 several years ago.
Right.
Last season's survey, we counted, I think, 870 or so. And what's happened, back in 2020, we had actually a couple research projects going on, and so we had some collars on animals, fortunately, that helped us to detect this. But we've had some disease issues with pneumonia, which is an issue with managing bighorn sheep all throughout the West. It's a bacteria called Mycoplasma pneumoniae that affects bighorn sheep, that comes, you know, from domestic sheep and other critters that they're just not adapted to. And we were able to document some of that going through a couple of our populations where we had those collars. And so we're still rebounding from that.
Did that have anything to do with the relocation of sheep to new areas?
Having collars on sheep did, in one case. We did move some sheep to Black Gap and had collars on some sheep there. But the other was just part of a different research study that we were looking at the interactions between bighorn sheep and Aldad and mule deer.
Right.
And so those were resident sheep that got collared. And it's just coincidentally that, you know, we had those collars on them and started to observe the mortality events that we traced back to the pneumonia.
All right, can you? I'm sorry, Bill, just real quick. Can you inoculate for that?
Not really. Not in wild populations.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Okay.
It's kind of like contraceptives. Pills.
Right.
It doesn't work. Let's shift over to mule deer. I know the Panhandle had a antler restriction that was successful on whitetail in the eastern part of the state. Has that spread over into the Trans-Pecos region as well?
Actually, glad you brought that up, Bill. In Terrell County only, but we're going to give that a trial run out here.
Okay.
So new this year in Terrell County, which is the easternmost county in our district, we have the same antler restriction. A 20-inch outside spread on the main beams is what's required to be a legal buck this year. So hunters need to know that. But the rest of the Trans-Pecos land ownership patterns and harvest pressure so far is a bit lighter than Terrell County and some of what was going on in the Panhandle. So no antler restrictions there, but just in Terrell County.
With the success we saw in whitetails and the success up in the Panhandle, the early success, I got to believe it's coming. Just as a regulation, a tool to help landowners and let those animals grow to a bigger, older size. That's just Bill's opinion. you all have such big country out there. I mean, it's big, wide open spaces. And I'm a big proponent of the $48 annual hunting permit. You all have a fair number of big places to hunt. Of course, I've talked about Red Bluff Reservoir there on the New Mexico border for years. And you cautioned folks and said you got to have a boat. And, you know, is it only the east side that you can access, or is it the west side you can access for waterfowl?
Correct. Yeah, that you need a boat. We've got a lease there, but the hunting is on the east side of the lake.
Okay.
But the access is on the west side, and the reason they don't allow hunting on the west side because there's a little more development and some residences there. So you got to put in on the west side and boat across to the east side to access the public hunting area.
For those young people that want to go brush busting, chasing those blue quail, I know that there's some areas that offer that. What are some of the areas that we can hunt quail out there on public land?
Yeah, well, you got two options. You got Black Gap Wildlife Management Area and Elephant Mountain Wildlife Management Area. And if you want to go this year, go to Black Gap. They've got a few more birds, the elephant. And it's the way it is out here with our moisture. Of course, Brewster County's pretty big, but, the rainfall, when it does come, is in the form of thunderstorms, and those are pretty spotty. And so just quail season this year could be really good in a few spots, but it's probably going to be average to below average in some other spots, just given the dry spring we had. But Black Gap did get a little more favorable rainfall a little bit earlier in the year, just enough to help those populations. So hunters down there are doing a little better than what we're seeing at Elephant Mountain.
All right. Listen, Mike, we're out of time, but it sounds like it's Texas. I mean, just the variety. you never know.
Sir.
Hey, we appreciate you joining us today. Our second guest, Mike Yonis, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader from Alpine, Texas.
And friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause 6 types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots, protectors of the Second Amendment, advocating the right to keep and bear arms, advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News.
Yep.
DU's raising funds.
That's right. Bunch of Ducks Unlimited events. October the 11th, Sabine Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Orange. Also the 11th, West Bowie County Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraiser in DeKalb. On October 12, Rio Grande Valley Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraiser in Harlingen. And October 13th, Santa Fe Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Santa Fe. And for information on all of those, visit ducks.org. And then go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 45 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
And do remember that Hybrid Light is the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News Radio. They've got flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. And they keep coming up with new and better stuff. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, including the sun or the light in your kitchen. And they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they have a special offer for 20% off any of their products and free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, just add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, that is 20% off free same-day shipping at hybridlight.com, TEXAS20. And you ought to get those kits where there's a mixture of several of those lights. They are just absolutely fantastic.
In fact, order now because yes. For Christmas gifts.
Ho, ho.
Oh, man, a lot of that stuff sells out, and it is great, great stuff.
Yeah.
I want to thank Dean Marquardt and Mike Yannis for being our guests today. Harold, I've said trying to surround these district leaders.
Right.
We visited with four. I've got four that were chasing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to go left and then go right.
Yeah, right.
They came right back at me.
Yeah.
But we will have two more next week.
There you go. Well, and obviously it's a busy, they're always busy, but this really is particularly busy time for them. You bet your friends. Check us out online, okay? TexasOutdoorNews.com. We archive all of our shows. So if you go, what'd they say? We can just go up there and play it, okay? There's also a list of our wonderful affiliate stations there. You can also catch us, of course, on Stitcher Smart Radio and Facebook. Like us on Facebook. I try to avoid it as often as I can, but still, you got to go in there sometime. Like I said, helps build the audience, okay? Remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. So whether you're on the water or in the woods, be safe out there so you can join us again next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.